Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
Average gas prices in Western New York have fallen by almost 3 cents in the last week, according to Gas Buddy and AAA. Data shows a $3.27 average in the region, which is 49 cents lower than the average this time last year. Still puts Buffalo Niagara above the national average for gas, which today stands at $3.13. Observers are keeping an eye on military action in the Middle East, as analysts with Gas Buddy say fighting between Israel and Iran has caused crude oil prices to spike. Plus, an already devastating hurricane season isn't helping either, as the South braces for another landfall with Hurricane Milton. Locally, new information on that incident where a Buffalo City garbage truck hit a 17-year-old last Wednesday. Police confirming to local media the driver of that truck, a city employee, was driving with a suspended license at the time of the incident. Later that day, their driver's license was reinstated. City council members are putting pressure on the Department of Public Works, calling for better oversight on employees who operate city vehicles. Last year, a different city truck nearly hit a small child on Niagara and Austin streets before crashing into a building. The employee behind the wheel in that crash was also driving with a suspended license. An internal investigation is underway into last week's incident, and the garbage truck driver remains under suspension by the city. Zur Valley is touted as one of the most ecologically diverse woodlands in Western New York, but one part of the conservation area could soon be the 100-acre No Woods. WBFO's Alex Simone has more.
New York Department of Environmental Conservation is planning to cut down many trees within a 92-acre area of Zur Valley to increase environmental diversity. The trees selected aren't yet considered old growth, so they aren't protected from logging. Zur Valley Coalition member Terry Belke is concerned that cutting down mature trees means missing the potential for future old growth.
And there's only 3% of old growth in New York State in all our forests. So why, and we're not saying also that they're cutting down old growth, but they are cutting down mature forests. They plan to cut down mature forests.
DEC head forester Fiona Watt says that at the same time, only 3% of trees in New York are under 20 years old. So removing trees from the designated area should diversify the environment.
It's important not to think of forests like human lifespans. Many forest ecologists would say that a 100-year-old tree is a very youthful tree. But we're looking to create a greater diversity of habitats across the landscape.
But Belke is worried creating a habitat conducive to some species will harm the plant and animal life already there. Alex Simone, WBFO News.
Zur Valley Coalition is planning a protest for noon Tuesday at the DEC headquarters in downtown Buffalo. Well, there's a new sight you'll see if you're driving along the I-190 into or out of the city. A new pedestrian bridge was installed over the thruway as part of upgrades to the Ralph C. Wilson Centennial Park. The I-190 north and southbound lanes were closed from Saturday night into Sunday morning to allow for the demolition of the old bridge and installation of the new one to take place. The Thruway Authority reported some delays in the process, but the bridge is up and traffic has fully reopened.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying griffs find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
Well, over the past couple of days, police in Toronto have been stepping up their presence ahead of the October 7th anniversary. Toronto's top cop says there will be a significantly increased police presence, especially in Jewish neighborhoods and at mosques. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, that includes several police command centers at key locations.
One of those command centers is in the city of Vaughan, northwest of Toronto. Vaughan Mayor Stephen Del Duca says it's part of a number of precautionary measures that also includes more officers on patrols in cars and on foot.
That increased visibility, I think, will go a long way to helping ease some of the anxiety and the angst that we know many in our community have been feeling for the past 12 months, and in particular with tensions that are heightening right now in the Middle East.
Police Chief Myron Demkew says the events in the Middle East are having an impact in Toronto, and that includes the potential for more protests and acts of violence.
These actions are dangerous for everyone. engaging in confrontations with law enforcement, obstructing officers in the course of their duties, or resorting to violence is not acceptable and will not be tolerated. Communities are hurting, and the trauma of the conflict is deeply personal for many.
Demke says since the beginning of the year, there have been 350 hate-motivated offenses, a spike of 40% from a year ago. He also says in recent weeks, some protests have become very confrontational with assaults against officers and the brandishing of Hezbollah flags. Demke says the right to assembly must be balanced against the need to maintain public order and safety, not just for those attending, but for the community and for police officers. Hezbollah is listed as a terrorist organization by the Canadian government. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto on the Canadian Beat.
The Bills lost their second game in a row, and the Sabres started the season 0-2. Plus, MLB playoffs are rolling with the Mets and Yankees both in the divisional round. I'm Jack Cruiser. This is the scoreboard for Monday, October 7th. What was a pretty nice day in Western New York quickly turned gray and gloomy almost immediately as the Bills lost to Houston on a game-winning field goal with time expiring 23-20. The overarching theme of the game, Buffalo's defense gave them a chance to win, but their offense got simply outcoached. It's becoming a trend that the Bills' offense starts poorly. Buffalo has now been held to just a field goal in the first half of each of their last two games. Yesterday, the offense was at an all-time worst to start the game. For the first time in his career, Josh Allen only completed one of his first nine passes. While it was known that Khalil Shakir wouldn't be available since Thursday, the first 10 scripted plays looked as if the coaches found out who they had available just moments before kickoff. The Bills ended five of their six first-half drives with punts. The Bills' defense on the other side held their own, despite being riddled with injuries. Rookie safety Cole Bishop made a bad mistake that resulted in a big touchdown pass against, but after that, the Bills' defense held the Texans to three field goals while forcing three turnovers from there on out. The defense kept the game within striking distance for three quarters of the game. Given the lineup the Bills were forced to roll out and the explosive Houston offense they had to face, that's a job well done. However, for the second week in a row, offensive coordinator Joe Brady's play calling was abysmal at a critical moment. Last week, he took the blame for calling a poorly timed and poorly executed trick play at Baltimore that ultimately cost them the game. In Houston, with 40 seconds left and the score tied, the Bills were handed a gift as the Texans took a penalty to knock them out of field goal range. Buffalo got the ball at their own 3-yard line, and Joe Brady proceeded to call three straight passing plays, all of which were incomplete. That set up Houston for the game-winning field goal. When asked about that decision post-game, this is what head coach Sean McDermott had to say.
Tough situation. You know, they're holding three timeouts, like I said. They get a good field goal kicker, and you know, you go back and forth. I probably should have run it on the first play and just said, hey, where are we now? Either way, we're probably going to have to move the chains one time, right, to not give them a chance. But again, those are situations, and that's on me.
With all of that said, the Bills simply need to make the playoffs to have a chance at their ultimate goal. And to do that, they need to win divisional games. Buffalo has officially entered must-win territory as they turn their attention toward the New York Jets. It was deja vu all over again for the Sabres, who lost their opening two games in Prague against the Devils 4-1 and 3-1 this past weekend. First and foremost, the power play was atrocious, going scoreless in their six attempts with the man advantage over the weekend. Buffalo had too difficult of a time getting into the offensive zone that they rarely had the chance to set up Seth Appert's new scheme. When they did, some shots were attempted, but nothing more than a shot from distance with nobody in front. Throughout the two games, the Sabres looked outclassed. Too many errors led to bad turnovers, and their goaltenders left to face an odd man rush. When given proper help defensively, the tandem of Luukkonen and Levi were solid, not allowing an egregious goal against across the weekend. That's something to build on for the team coming back to North America. With the change of coaches and schematics, it is understandable that the players need some time to adjust to their new way of playing, especially given that they barely played in the preseason. That said, the Sabres decision-making was so slow this past weekend. New Jersey was all over them in all three zones. It's certainly not time to hit the panic button, but the uninspiring start has Buffalo fans weary of another letdown from their hockey team. All eyes will be on them Thursday night as the Sabres try to show the city they can beat an LA Kings team that has made the playoffs the last three seasons. The 2024 MLB postseason has already lived up to the hype with miraculous games every other night. The New York Mets ousted the Brewers thanks to a top-of-the-ninth homer from Pete Alonso. The Mets are now tied with the Phillies, one game apiece in the NLDS. The series shifts to Queens for Game 3 on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Moving across New York City to the Bronx, the Yankees won their series opener versus Kansas City on Saturday with a historic affair, becoming the first-ever postseason game in MLB history to have five lead changes. The Yankees won it 6-5. Game 2 of the ALDS is tonight at 7:30. This has been the scoreboard for Monday, October 7th. I'm Jack Cruiser for WBFO Sports.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.